Welcome to the Deeper Daily Broadcast with Pastor Paul White. We hope the good news of God's abundant grace and favor will be daily bread to your soul. And now, with today's message, here's Pastor Paul.
Welcome today, friends, to the Deeper Daily Broadcast. With no delay, I want to get into a message that we started at the beginning of the week. This is entitled, Feeding on the Love of Jesus.
He's not telling you to work it out and get saved. He's telling you to work it out because you are saved. You say, well, what about fear and trembling? You tell me that we don't fear God anymore. You're right, we don't. Not in a bad way. In fact, Jesus told the devil in the wilderness, when the devil tried to get him to eat the stones, turn to bread. Remember? And Jesus says, as is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. That's not written anywhere. Jesus was misquoting the Bible. He's quoting Deuteronomy, which says, thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. But the writer has the rights to change the words.
Amen.
Jesus wrote it the first time, so he gave you a revised edition in the wilderness. When he said, under the new covenant, we don't fear the Lord our God, and him only shall we serve. Under the new covenant, we worship the Lord our God, and him only do we serve. Jesus set you free from fear right there. Praise God. You know why I think he delivered that message to the devil first and not to the church? Because the devil's going to try to use fear as his number one weapon against you. And Jesus wanted to let him know from the very beginning, it won't work. Perfect love will cast out fear out of my people's hearts. You're going to keep trying it because you're the devil and that's all you got. But it won't work. My people are free. Pastor, fear and tremble, fear and tremble. Look what happened to the woman. Verse 33, but the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what good had happened in her. Fearing and trembling is not always a bad thing. Fearing and trembling is a response to how good and loving that your Jesus is to you. Notice that the moment she made eye contact, fearing and trembling in her heart, because she realized that what is coming, what is about to happen in her is unusual and unprecedented. And what you're about to see is so, it just excites me so much. You got your socks pulled up? Because I don't want your socks to come off. I don't want you to blow your socks off, all right? But what Jesus does to her is so beautiful, so precious, so wonderful that he doesn't do it for anybody else in the Gospels. What he says to her, he never says to anyone else. Daughter. Nobody else gets called daughter by Jesus. Why does he call this woman daughter? Identification of family relationship comes only through intimacy, not familiarity. I am familiar with you, but I am intimate with my family. You understand the difference? And that's the way it's supposed to be. God doesn't want her familiar with Jesus. He wants her intimate, so he calls her daughter. I love that. I love that. You realize the Bible says in Galatians, you are no longer a servant but a son. And if a son, then a joint heir with Christ. And if a joint heir with Christ, you can cry Abba, Father. Abba in the Greek, Daddy! Daddy, Father, you are my daddy. Because you have family relationship. He wants to bring intimacy into your life. Let's take care of this little lady. We'll move on. He said to her in verse 34, daughter, your faith made you whole. Go in peace and be whole of your plague. Interesting statement by Jesus. First of all, he gives her family intimacy, teaching her to feed on the love, not the power. Right? Now he's going to give you something to feed on permanently. Because, you know, this moment's going to be over with. Wouldn't that have been a shame, that moment? The apex of your life would be touching Jesus, and then Jesus walks on. See, we always think, well, if I could just touch Jesus, it would have been great. It would have been great, but then he walked away. Now what? Did you know everything else you touch the rest of your life is never going to match up? This is why we keep running from revival to revival. Because we had a really good one, and we want to repeat it. As long as we keep feeding on unfinished things, there's nothing. So Jesus is going to give her some finished work to sustain her. So he says to her, daughter, your faith is what made you whole. Now go in peace. The word in, E-I-S in the Greek. E-I-S, pronounced ice in the Greek. E-I-S means into. Daughter, go into peace and be whole. Was she already whole? Yes, but Jesus doesn't want to take care of her one day. He wants to take care of her every day. If he doesn't give her something to go home with, all she had was an experience. So he wants her to go, I love this thought, go into peace. Woman, go into peace and be whole. So watch what happens. As you go into peace, more wholeness. More wholeness. more wholeness. Jesus is concerned with intimate love. How does he want you to feed? How do you get peace? The finished work of Jesus Christ. Woman, go in peace. I want your Christian experience to go past familiar and to go into intimate, because there's a difference in familiar and intimate. It's so precious. Did you know that not even the angels are intimate with God? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 4 that angels watch you. The Bible says in Ephesians 3, the principalities and the powers of the heavens learn the wisdom of God through the church. Why is it that the principalities of the air can only learn of God's wisdom by watching you? Because only intimacy knows the heart of somebody else. Familiarity doesn't know the heart. I hear people all the time go, I hate so-and-so. It's an actor in Hollywood. All they've ever seen is them working. You don't know if you hate them. You hated the character you saw in a movie. I don't like that guy. I think something's wrong with him. You don't even know him. He's a good actor. You must be a good actor if you make people hate you in 2 hours on screen. It doesn't even mean that's who you are. But we go, oh, I hate that person. We don't even know that person. Lay off of them. You're familiar with them, but you're not intimate with them. When you're intimate with the Father, you know how He thinks. The Bible says that the heavens can only learn God's wisdom through watching the church, which means that the heavens aren't intimate. Why aren't they intimate? Because love is what brings intimacy. And God never showed forth His love to angels. How does God show forth His love? For Christ hath exhibited His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ didn't die for angels. Thus God never showed His love off to them. God only shows His love off through the finished work of Jesus. Do you know why angels watch you with such curiosity? Man. God loves that guy? It's unbelievable. Have you listened to him talk? I can just see Gabriel and Michael, the two angels that are named in the Word, looking at one another, saying, Have you listened to Paul White? And Michael, the archangel, looks over and goes, yeah, no. He's a good preacher, ain't he? I'm getting somewhere with this. And Gabriel goes, no, I'm not talking about his preaching. Have you just watched him live? You go, oh, yeah, boy, that is just terrible. How can God love that? See, angels can't understand the wisdom of God because they never were redeemed. And they watch you in amazement. Not only that, I know I'm being facetious, or really, I'm being sarcastic about they only see God. They know God is love. But they do watch you in amazement that you are a vessel of the Holy Spirit. That's something they can't understand. This is why in Isaiah, the Bible says when the seraphims say, holy, 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 the Bible says they put their wings over their face. Because the angels can't look God in the eye in heaven. But Jesus turns to look the woman with the issue of blood straight in the eye. Did you know every angel in the heavenlies watching that moment had to be amazed? We can't look upon His holiness in heaven, yet His holiness just looked upon the woman who's broke every law in the book to get right here. He must love these people so much. He must have such passion and compassion for them. And in heaven, the seraphim covers them. Holy, holy, holy. And you get this sense that heaven is so silent and just this big stoic place. But I'm here to tell you, and some people would say, if Jesus walked in this building right now and walked down that aisle, you'd stop that laughing. You wouldn't tell any jokes in the pulpit. Because if your church was real holy and real close to God, there'd be a silence and a closeness. And everybody would just be, oh, the presence of the Lord. I got news for you. Stop living in the old covenant. No. When David broke the Old Covenant tradition of hiding the Ark of the Covenant in the back room of the tabernacle, but instead pitched a tent in the middle of Jerusalem, opened the flap and stuck the Ark there, and said, everybody that wants to see it, come on down. You know what he was doing? This is the way it's going to be when Jesus dies. And what did they do? They played music, they danced, they threw a parade, everybody walked in front of it and shouted. Don't tell me that the presence of God will keep us all from laughing. Nobody will chew any gum. Nobody will get up and go to the bathroom. The real presence of God will have a holy, holy, holy. There's no evidence that you and I ever stand in heaven and say, holy, holy, holy. But there is evidence that you and I sing a song the angels cannot sing. You know why they can't sing it? Not because they're not good singers. They're great. but because they don't understand the intimacy of the words. What a moment that's going to be in glory when we sing the song, the Bible says, of Moses and the Lamb. And the angels fall silent in heaven and listen to the church, redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. They listen to the church sing. Awesome. Praise God. And that voice of one unified in Beulah land as the bride sings and the angels watch. Intimacy. We have a desire for power. We're halfway home. Are you good? Now I'm going to speed up the last several minutes, okay? I'm having fun feeding today. I'm having fun feeding, and I hope you're having fun feeding. You're free to get up and leave if you have to leave. That's okay. I won't take offense to it. I'll just eat your share. Okay? The neighbor sitting next to you will say, Father, give me what they miss. We might have a desire for power. And that woman wasn't looking for compassion. She was looking for power. But Jesus, who discerns past all the time what we think we need and moves greater. Aren't you glad for that? Gives her intimacy, daughter. She didn't come looking to be daughter, but she got it. And once she had it, she had the power to be whole the next day. Not just today, but tomorrow. God's not concerned with giving you a goosebump on Sunday and then letting you just bump on Monday. Okay? He wants to be with you every day in an intimate way. And the only way is to feed on the word of Christos. To feed, let your faith grow by feeding on Christ. What will happen in you as you experience knowing you are loved is you will automatically put that love out on the table for others to see. It will spring forth from who you are. In fact, those who are so desirous of power, the love for power, rarely have the power to love. And there is a sourness and a sarcasm and a crankiness. Have you noticed believers that don't feed on the finished work of Jesus are cranky? You ever notice that? They're cranky and depressed. No, they're going to church, but they're cranky all the time. I don't like being around cranky Christians. They're worse than cranky sinners. Sinners say things you expect a sinner to say. The cranky Christian will throw God into all the mix too. And say that the Lord's doing this and this. Matter of fact, I meet people a lot who don't go to church anywhere. They're just they're phantom. They're a believer, but I don't go to church because I don't believe all the churches are fake. You know, everybody's a hypocrite, and I never find anybody. I never found a good one, and none of the songs are the way I like them, and the preachers are all fake, and they all want money, and everybody. And they always got like a laundry list of stuff as to why they don't go. Oh, they're a believer. Oh, I feed on my own. I don't need anybody else. Yet Jesus comes out of them so cranky. Isn't it interesting? They're getting all they need. Oh, I get all I need at home, bless God. They're so mad. Which means that the Jesus they're eating on must be mad. No. Be not deceived. Christ is beautiful and lovely, full of peace and joy. Identification of Him as still waters and green grass. If what's spewing out of that person is anger and crankiness, they're not feeding on the finished work of Jesus. I'm not saying they're not reading their Bible. I'm not saying they're not praying. But they're not seeing Jesus loving it. They're not seeing Jesus as having finished the work, no matter what they say. I took Lucas to a baseball game a few weeks ago. Since he was 3 years old, he and I have went to a Cardinal game for his birthday every year. His birthday's on the 4th of April.
That's all that we have time for today. I want to thank you for listening to this message entitled, Feeding on the Love of Jesus. If you would like a copy of this sermon, please contact the ministry and ask for it by the title, Feeding on the Love of Jesus, and we will get it to you postage paid and free of charge. We hope that it is a blessing to you. We hope you'll be back with us again tomorrow. Until then, this is Pastor Paul White saying, God bless you.
Thank you for joining us for the Deeper Daily Broadcast. To order products mentioned in today's program, write us at Paul White Ministries, P.O. Box 985, Poplar Bluff, Missouri 63902, or call us at 573-686-2414. To order online, visit our website at www.paulwhiteministries.org. May God's abundant grace and favor be with you in Jesus' lovely name.